Hallelujah. This is a beautiful day the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice and glad in it. We are going to continue to teach on the value of an enemy, why I need an enemy. If you were here last week, I can't go back and do all the prelims to bring everybody up to date, but you know if you go on the website, you can hear the entirety of last week's message, so you'll get more out of this week's message. This is a series, so one builds on the other. So if you want to get a CD, you can get one in the back. If you want for last week's, you can get it this week too. But if you don't, you can go online at the church's website and pick, just download. I think Howard's has it now. You can put it on your phone, your iPad, your iPhone, or whatever. So all this technology is coming on, so you have opportunities to hear. Amen? All right, why I need an enemy. Last week we touched on it a little bit. We said that an enemy is an announcement of promotion. We said that before your promotion comes, your test must come. Before you have a testimony, you must have a test. Before you have a message, you'll go through a mess. And so what I'm saying here, that God sometimes uses situations to let us see where we stand in faith. Because unless you have a test, you don't know what kind of faith you have. We can talk faith all you want to, but when you can't see a way out at all, and you still say God is, and you say it in confidence, then you know your faith level. Your faith goes higher and higher as you get more word. And so I also finished up last week dealing with the fact that God has set before us a stepping stone, a stepping stool, a footstool, and that footstool is our enemy. Psalms 101, Psalm of David said, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemy thy footstool." Now, since we are made in God's image and likeness, we are his children. Therefore, the same thing applies to us as we are on earth. God sometimes allows things to happen, not for our demise, but for our promotion. And those things that have bothered you, instead of you saying, woe is me, said, Lord, thank you, because now I can use this situation to grow, and now my enemy has now become my stepping stool or my footstool. Sometimes God moves enemies out of the way for your promotion. Sometimes he makes the same people that did you wrong turn around and say, I'm sorry, and help you go to the next level. But you have to keep a constant attitude to know that God has it in control, regardless of what it may look like on the outside. Hallelujah. So we talked a little bit about blessing, and I want to go back over that because we always hear people say, I want God to bless me. Bless me in this and bless me in that. The first sermon that Jesus preached was about how to get blessed. And he said in these three verses in Matthew, he says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And again, in the Amplified Version, that same verse, blessed and happy and enviable, fortunate, and spiritually prosperous is the state in which the born-again child of God enjoys and finds satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of his outward condition, are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for being and doing right, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And in the contemporary English version says it very simply. It basically just says, God blesses those people who are treated badly for doing right. They belong to the kingdom of heaven. So God is saying, if you follow me, don't take it personal, but people are going to try to kick your behind. Don't take it personal. That's the walk that you've chosen to walk. Remember when the disciples were asking questions about their position? He said, you want the position, but can you drink of the cup? So if we say, yes, we're followers of Christ, yes, we want to do what God's will in our life, then understand, as soon as you say yes to Christ, Satan is going to attack you. And he's not going to come at you in the ways that you would think. He's going to come in the ways of good friends who would say, you know, you really don't need to try that. Y'all miss me. You know, that's not, you know, are you sure that's what, you know, nobody in your family has ever done this before. You know, that's not for you. And many times they are well-wishers, but sometimes it's envy. We're going to get deep today, so y'all might as well get. And I'm in a series, so I can cut off when I want to, so I don't have to rush. I'll just cut off when I get ready. Amen. Amen. Sometimes it's envy. He says in all three of those verses that blessing has a relationship with persecution. Even when God talked about the rich young ruler, when after he had gone away, and they said, Lord, the disciples said, Lord, we've given up everything for you. And he said, those who've given up everything will get back things multiple with persecution. See, we overlook that. And then we don't understand it when all of a sudden you see that God has given you a goal, he's given you a vision, and all of a sudden the world starts caving in on you. Then you say, Lord, did you give it to me? If it's too easy, God didn't. Y'all need to hear me. If you don't have problems in trying to do what God wants you to do, if people are not in your way trying to keep you from doing what thus say the Lord, you ain't doing nothing. Hallelujah. And see, the fact is that these things happening to you should be a sign that you should get happy about it, because that's your proof that God is in the mix of this thing. Amen. So it's not that they really hate you as a person, but they hate the righteousness they see in you. They hate the position that God has put you in. The fact that you are progressive, they hate that. People who see progress and don't want progress are going to hate you. People that see you doing well and they don't want you to do well, they're going to hate you. They're going to talk about you. They're going to gossip about you. They're going to put roadblocks in your way. That comes with the territory. Don't hate the person. Hate the spirit that they've allowed to get in there. Amen? See, the non-progressive will always hate the progressive. The common will always hate the uncommon. The impure will always hate the pure, and the lazy will despise the diligent. Why are you working so hard? Why ain't you working? So he over there, he got two jobs. And you know it don't take all that. How do you know what it takes in somebody else's household? And the only reason you want to gossip, because, listen to me, because then you can justify you're not doing what it should be going on. Oh, I knew I was going to make some people mad, but that's all right. When you do what it takes, those who look at you want, listen to me, they want what you're going after, but they're not willing to do what you're doing to get to where you're going. Therefore, they hate where you're going, and they hate your journey, because they know they want it, but they won't go after it the way you're going after. Tell your neighbor, you must pass the test to be blessed. Listen, and he goes on in Mark 5:11, said, blessed are ye when men shall revile you, to taunt you, to have rage toward you, and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. I emphasize for my sake, because there's this particular kind that when you're doing what God wants, people are going to talk about you anyway, but when you're doing what God wants, then they really can't tell truths about you. So they have to make up lies about you. So they're going to talk about you, and they're going to taunt you, and they're going to rage about you, and they're going to say, this is not the way I would do it, and this is what I would do. It ain't got nothing to do with them. If it's your vision, you do it the way God told you to do it. Because they're going to talk about you anyway. Amen. Hallelujah. And again, it's not because it's you, it's because what you stand for. So what you represent is what you represent in your life. It's the blessing that God's put on you that they can't stand. And because of that, the enemy is going to give them a spirit to try to take you out. Have you ever noticed, and many of you who are trying, you know, every time you get started, there's somebody or something that gets in the way. Now, let me tell you how to defeat that. Number one, love the person, because you're really not fighting against the person. Remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're dealing with principalities. We're dealing with things in the air. We're dealing with spirits that people have allowed themselves to be used. And we did say last Sunday, it's not just people who are unsaved. We used Peter as an example last week. That in the same group of verses, first Jesus asked, "Who do men say I am?" Peter said, "You're the Christ, Son of the living God." And Jesus said that flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. It was the Holy Spirit that revealed that to you, my Father in heaven. Then a few verses down, Jesus said, "Now let me explain to you what my vision is, what my mission is. My mission is to come down here and get lied on, spat on, and crucified so that the kingdom can come to earth." And the same Peter that just said was used by the Holy Ghost, now the flip of the script, and now he's being used of the devil. He said, "I'm not going to let that happen to you." He may have meant in the flesh good, but God, Jesus gave his commission. He said, "I'm here to die." And what Peter was saying in actuality was, "I am not going to allow the will of God to be done in the earth." Because the will of God was for him to die on the cross. Peter said, "I'm not going to let that happen." So he was being used by Satan, and that's why Jesus said to him, "Get thee behind me, Satan." He wasn't talking to the physical Peter. He was talking to the spirit that was influencing Peter. And one thing we have to be careful about is not let spirits that don't belong in you use you. Yes, you're a child of God, but don't let that envious spirit get in you. Yes, you're a child of God, but don't be a hater, because God is blessing somebody in their season, and your season hadn't come yet, but you have a season. And you deter and put your season off if you don't have the right spirit about somebody else's season. Hallelujah. So that spirit, that hate, is not about you. It's a spirit that they hate what God is doing in you. Remember what I said about Genesis, that we are made God in God's image and likeness, and we have a way of dealing with the enemy, that chaos we can speak to. Just like in Genesis 1, when God said he saw the chaos and the spirit moved out over the water. And when the spirit got in position, God said, guess what? You have that same spiritual ability. You that are in Christ, you can speak to your chaos if the Holy Spirit is with you. You can speak to your problems if the Holy Spirit is the one who's watching over and dealing with you. So the one who's your enemy is envious of you because you have the ability to speak to your chaos in the name of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit gets to work to get that problem solved. And he's envious of you. Listen, we do not fight the enemy as hard as the enemy fights us. Why? You fight him according to your condition, but he fights you according to your position. Let me fix that. See, you look at the bills. You look at the sickness. You look at the confusion. You look at people talking about you. You look at situations at work. You're looking at the condition, and then you get caught up in trying to deal with the condition from a physical and a carnal point of view. But God knows, and Satan knows, that he doesn't have to deal with your condition if he can move you from your position. Let me give you something. Job chapter 2. See, the enemy's hatred and envy on you is what causes him to act. We all know the story of Job, and we know that Job was a man. He was upright. He had a lot of stuff. He had a good condition. And so Satan went forth in the presence of the Lord and smote, this is the third time I believe, when he smote Job with loathsome and painful sores from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took a piece of broken pottery, this is Job, took broken pottery in which to scrape himself, and he sat down among the ashes. Next verse. Then his wife said, listen to him, do you still hold fast your blameless uprighteous, say position? Renounce God and die. Change your position. But he said, you speak as one of the impious and foolish woman would speak. What? Shall we accept only good at the hand of God, and shall we not accept also the misfortune and what is of the bad fortune? In spite of all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Job said, regardless of my condition, I'm not going to forfeit my position. Why? Because if you're in the right position with God, then God now has the ability, the power, and the authority to change your condition. Satan's envy. He envies the saved. So he goes to God and said, the only reason they praise you is because you've allowed them to have a good condition. But if you change their condition, I guarantee you they will change their position. And he said, not so. Change his condition, and he will not change his position. And so he tested Job, and we know the result. Now, the thing about it is, when you maintain your condition, your position, God then changes your condition. What is your position? Here's why Satan hates you so badly. Here's why he wants to change your position. He don't care about your condition, but his position was where you are now. He was in charge of praise. Now you're in charge of praise. Matter of fact, your position is a little higher than Satan's position. I'm going to show you right now. He says, for thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and have crowned him with glory and honor. Now, I want you to hold it there for a second. That double, remember we talked about those double meanings, two Hebrew, meaning it's a combination of the two. The Amplified says it so clearly. Yet you have made him a little lower than God. In other words, there's God and there's you. And the angels fall below that. And Satan, at that time Lucifer, was an angel. And now he's in envious position because there's nobody between you and God. And we have been moved, elevated between Satan and God. That's why you can tell Satan to get behind me. Because angels are servants to the saved. That's why he couldn't attack Adam. He had to trick Adam into changing his position before he could then take dominion. Oh, glory. Amen. Listen, because of your position, this is what happens when you have problems. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, say position. But the Lord delivereth him out of all, them all. In other words, whatever you find your condition, if you will keep on being God's righteousness, if you will allow God to keep guiding you, he says, if you maintain your position, I can change your condition. Amen? Hallelujah. So what's my reaction to the attack? What do I do? when the month keeps going and the money's gone? What do I do when the medicine ain't working? What do I do when I got a job but my car's broke down? What do I do when I'm trying and trying my best and it seems like I take one step forward and three steps back? What do I do? Do I crawl up in church, listen to me, and do I go up and say, "Whoa, it's me. Oh, Lord. Please, Lord." No, Jesus said, this is how this thing gets broken off you. Matter of fact, if you know it and you know you're going through hell, when you hit that door and Sister Maxine or whoever's playing hits that first note, you should be telling everybody, "Excuse me, let me get in the aisle. Let me just get over here," because as soon as she hits that note, I'm going to do what Matthew 5:12 says. As soon as the note, I'm not going to wait till everybody gets in the mood to praise and worship. It's soon, because I'm going through hell right now, so I need to get out in the aisle, because at that time, as soon as I hit a first note, I don't even have to know the song. As soon as I hit a first note, I'm going to start praising God. It said, "Rejoice and be exceedingly, exceedingly glad, for great is the reward in heaven." Exceedingly glad. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, some of y'all might need to just take a praise break right now and just get up and just say, "Glory to God for all the things he's brought me through. I may be going through hell today, but weeping last but a night, but the joy cometh in the morning." Hallelujah. Go on and give him a praise through your situation. Glory to his name. Hallelujah. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Go on and praise the Lord. And don't be worried about who's around you. Don't look at them. Just look up in the sky and say, "Don't be a hater. Don't be a hater. Don't be a hater." Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Listen. When your assignment is revealed, so will your enemy be revealed. When your assignment is revealed, so will your enemy be revealed. In Mark chapter 1, we see when Jesus now is about to start his ministry, and he goes and John the Baptist baptizes him. And when he baptizes him, the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove comes down. The Father speaks. And he said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him." When God spoke it, the enemy heard it. The assignment was given. And now verse 10 says, "And straightway, coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descended upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness." That's the Holy Spirit. "And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan." When the Spirit moved him out to minister to him in preparation for his assignment, Satan said, "I'm not going to be left out. I got to disrupt this. I can't let this happen. I got to make some changes. I got to cause this thing to be disrupted." And as soon as God, listen to me, this is for somebody. God has given you a vision bigger than you are. And you're still trying to operate where you are, and God is trying to make you see where you're going. But every time you try to move where you're going, there's Satan following you in the form of a good friend, relative, or somebody telling you can't do it. There's somebody going to be there saying you don't have enough education, you're not of the right race or sex, you don't have this, that, and the other, money is a problem, somebody else tried it and they didn't make it. There's going to be somebody on your tail. Satan's going to be right there saying, "Let me tell you, you need to follow me. Don't take that route. Take this route." When your assignment is revealed, the enemy attacks your weakness. Listen, we say, but we all got weaknesses. And it's not a perfect person in this building. We all have weaknesses. Some of them are secrets. And we try to keep God from knowing about it, but he knew about it before you even went into it. So instead of confessing to God, we try to cover it up with so much stuff that people think we saint. Super saint. I don't want to hear that. That's all right. But as soon as God gives you an assignment and Satan gets on you, he's not going to attack your strength. If you've never smoked, he's not going to tempt you to smoke. If you never chased women, he's not going to tempt you with women. But if in the world you were Mac Daddy, and God saved you, and now he gives you an assignment, guess what? Miss Hoochie is coming to stand before you if that was your weakness. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Let me give you some relevant scripture here. Luke 4. Now look here. Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. Say, he was weak. He was hungry. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. He wasn't going to tempt Jesus in saying there is no Holy Spirit, because he is God and he knows that the Holy Spirit is there. But since he had been deposited in an earthen vessel, Satan is going to tempt you with the things of the flesh. So he was hungry. He was hungry. He was beyond hungry. He hadn't eaten in 40 days. He was beyond hungry. He was hungry. And so when he was at that point, Satan says, I'm going to attack his weakness. But look at the two things here I want you to see. Number one, Satan attacked his weakness in the flesh. But Jesus understood that you don't try to fight your temptations in the flesh. You do what God did. And the Holy Spirit hovered over the chaos. And God said. And now Jesus was hungry. And Jesus said, God said, he said, and Jesus said, it is written, God said, that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Your weapon to overcoming your weakness is putting the word out in the air. That's your only offensive weapon. You can put on the armor of God, but there's only one place where it says the sword that the Spirit swings. The Spirit swings an offensive weapon, the Word of God. So Satan did not prevail. Now we go on to see that Satan came back and back and back, and every time he came back, Jesus prevailed. And we know that just before he got to the point where he was about to realize his purpose, that the body started to feel the weight of what he had to go through. And he prayed in the garden till he sweated blood. And he talked to the Father. He said, Father, if there's any way that you can take this cup from me, but not my will, thy will be done. And he went from a lamb, God transformed, into the Lion of Judah. the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because he did not relinquish his position just because of his condition. So when I'm out of position, how do I get back? Stay with me. Give me 10 minutes and I get you out. Hallelujah. Here we go. How do I get back? Look at Genesis 25. Now I want you to notice here, Jesus did not relinquish his position. But we see here Jacob and Esau. We see Esau was the oldest, and his brother was named Jacob. His brother was named Jacob because he was a trickster, and from the beginning, in the womb, he started trying to jockey for position. He tried to mix things up from the beginning. So his name was trickster, or what they call a supplanter, which means trickster, or deceiver. And so we see now, all the time, Jacob had in the back of his mind a way that he wasn't going to go God's way, even though he was he wasn't going to go God's way. He said, I don't want to stay in my position. I want to take somebody else's. And so what happens now, when his brother Esau went out and had been hunting and was not successful, he came in hungry. And we see here that Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright be to me? Now that's another sermon. I can't deal with that right now. And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentil, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. He caused his brother to hate his position. Now we're going to skip over a little bit and go to Genesis chapter. Go to the next slide. 32. I want you to see something here. Jacob, at this time, had been tricking all over the place. His mother helped him trick his father. She helped him to fool his father into giving him not the birthright, he already had that, but now the blessing. And now he had gotten the blessing from his father, which couldn't be turned back. He knew that when his daddy died, his brother was going to kill him, so as his father died, he took off. He ran to his uncle, and his uncle was almost as big a trickster as he was, so they were tricking each other. And so now he'd gained fame. He gained cattle and sheep. He got wives and children. He had all of these earthly things. Jacob had it going on. Jacob could have been on the rich and famous. But Jacob still was a trickster. And now his sins are finding him out. He has to go back because he hears his brother is coming at it. The angel said, your brother Esau is coming at you. Listen. And so Jacob still tried to connive away. He said, now if I divide my stuff and I'll send this ahead first, and if he don't kill all of them, I might get a chance. Someone's going to tell me how he acted, and I'll send the others, and maybe he'll be satisfied with them. But somebody bring me a message that it's all right, but I'm not going. He sent his wives. He sent his children. He sent all of his belongings. And now he's alone. Get this. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. You can wrestle with God all you want to, trying to justify your position. But when you're wrong, you're wrong. You might want to tell God it's right. You might want to wrestle with God to try to make it right. But when it's wrong, it's wrong. God touched him and let him know, you can't whip me. I'm just going to touch you and see how I can hurt you. I want you to always know that wrong is wrong. You'll always limp. But the good thing about God, I want you to look at this one. Verse 26, and he said, let me go for day breaketh. Now, he could not beat God. God is setting him up. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Now, we usually get to shouting on that part, but this next verse is what I need you to understand. Before God decided to bless him, he said, and he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob, what is your name? That don't matter. No. What is your name? I don't see the significance. Now, you may not, but what is your name? Remember, your name was given as a sign of your character. And God said to him, he said, bless me. God said, what's your name? Well, I don't want to talk about my name. No. Before I bless you, you're going to have to confess who you are. Before I bless you, you have to understand that you've been a trickster all of your life. Before I bless you, you got to understand you've been undercutting people all of your life. Before I bless you, you're going to have to confess and repent. Who are you? Yeah. I'm Jacob, all right? I'm Jacob. I'm the one who messes up with people. I'm the one who backbites. I'm the one who lies on folks. I'm the one who tricks folks. Okay, I'm Jacob. He said, that's where I want you to get. That's where I wanted you to get. Once you're willing to repent of who you really are, not what the people see on the outside, not the suit and the haircut, not the high shoes and the nice dress. I want you to repent right now who you really are, because I'm not going to bless you until you repent. And when you repent, I can change your character, because now I'm going to change your name. Your change must go before your conquest. He said, thy name shall be no more Jacob. Let that settle in just a second. Whatever you used to be, however you used to act, even if it's up to right now, if you just tell God, God, I know I'm a mess. I don't even know what caused me to be a mess. I'm a mess, but I'm a mess. And God said, go ahead and repent it. You don't have to repent it to men, but repent it to me. And your name is no longer Jacob, but Israel. Why does it have to be Israel? Because I want to favor you. For as a prince, Israel means prince. For as a prince have thou power with God and with men, and have prevailed. When I change your name to a new character in me, instead of you praying those prayers I don't hear, now you have power with me. Now you can prevail with me. Now men will respect you in me. Not because of who you were, but because you repented and what I have done to change your character. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? He put the question. In other words, he said, you have to ask who I am? Do you really have to ask who I am? And he blessed him there. Hallelujah. Let's stand.